us don't know, or maybe you've heard of her, but you haven't heard her story told too often in church, and probably that's just because of who Rahab is. Rahab was a prostitute. She lived in the nation or the land of Canaan as well, so she would have participated in worshiping Canaanite gods. She would have worshiped the idols that her society worshiped. So Rahab is not one of those biblical characters that you learn about in Sunday school, right? Rahab isn't part of Israel, part of God's chosen people. Rahab, her profession went directly against God's law, and Rahab grew up as a pagan. And yet, despite all of this, Rahab became a hero of faith. We can read in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, Rahab appears as an example of faith for us to follow, actually, and to be like her. In the book of James, we read that Rahab the prostitute was considered righteous for what she did when she helped the spies, what she did in the story we just read. Rahab is even one of the four women mentioned by name at the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew, when Matthew gives the genealogy of Jesus. Rahab is listed as an ancestor of Jesus, one of the only four women who is. And so through Rahab's life, God did some amazing things. Rahab, for all of her faults, Rahab was welcomed into the people of God through faith in the Savior. And through Rahab's faith, we get to see the power of Christ in her life. Through Rahab's faith, we get to see how fear overcomes grace. And that's why Rahab is our hero of faith today. And it's good for us to talk about Rahab's story today because our world today is full of fear, just like in Rahab's day. You know, if you look around us in America, the level of fear seems like it's rising and rising. You know, there's so many things we've seen in just the last few weeks to make us afraid. We've seen mass shootings. So that we're afraid to go out in public places. We see tensions between different racial and ethnic communities. You know, we see the Black Lives Matter movement, and those are folks who are afraid of the police. The police, on the other hand, are afraid of protesters, ambushes, or snipers like happened in Dallas a few weeks ago. There's the threat of terrorism that seems to hang over everything. And there's even violence against the church itself. Less in America, but we can look overseas. This week in France, this last week, a Catholic priest and some worshipers were murdered in the middle of the Mass. There's fear all over. And it's not just fear of violence either. You know, we see fear in the church as well. Here in the church in America, we see Christianity losing its place of pride in American culture. And so there's many Christians in America who are afraid that the church is somehow losing in America. We see fear in our politics, too, all over the place. This election season seems to be all about fear. Fear that we'll elect the wrong person and we'll suffer terrible consequences. There's fear of outsiders we hear about, fear of insiders, fear of foreigners, fear of our countrymen, fear that America is going to somehow collapse if we elect the wrong person. And I know that I'm not that old, but I don't think I've ever seen a presidential race take on such an apocalyptic tone as we have this year. There's a lot of fear out there. And while we might tell ourselves that it's other people who are afraid, we need to recognize that we're afraid too. You know, every time we take the safe choice instead of the right choice, that's acting from fear. Every time we take the long way around certain parts of town because we think of that as the bad part of town, we're acting from fear. Every time we see someone who's different than me, and that could be maybe, you know, a Muslim, a black man, a police officer, a homeless man, or someone like that, you see someone different from you and you spend a few extra moments checking them out just to be safe, that's fear. We're afraid of violence, we're afraid of the world, we're afraid of one another, and often we're even afraid of God. We're afraid that God will not bless us in the future as he has blessed us in the past. Well, let's talk about Rahab, because Rahab lived in a time of fear too. And Rahab's story is actually really neat, because she gives us a perspective on God's people that we don't usually see. You know, most of the time when we read Scripture, we read the Old Testament, and we see the story of God's people from the perspective of God's people. But Rahab is different because Rahab was one of the Canaanites. You know, normally we read Old Testament stories and we find ourselves cheering on the Israelites and booing the Canaanites or the other enemies of God's people. But Rahab actually grew up as one of the bad guys. The Canaanites were enemies of God's people. And just to give you some background here on what's happening is that the whole nation of Israel has gathered at the border. They are ready to move into the land of Canaan. They're going to attack and clear the whole thing out. This is the promised land that God has promised to give to his people, Israel. And so Israel's about to move in. Rahab lived in the city of Jericho, which was right on the border, just over the river Jordan, and it was the first fortress that the Israelites encountered as they moved into the promised land. So the inhabitants of Jericho, right now during the story, they're kind of like living in the crosshairs. There's this huge invading force just a very short distance away, and all that the people of Jericho can do is close the city gates tight and hope that the Israelites go someplace else. So they're afraid. And so here's our story today. Before Israel crosses the Jordan River and moves into that enemy territory, two spies go into the land to spy it out, to check things out. And when these spies entered the city of Jericho, they stayed at Rahab's house. Now, not for the reason you might be thinking of, but remember Rahab's profession, right? It wasn't uncommon for men to come and go from her home, and her home in that day probably also functioned as sort of an inn, so it wouldn't have been uncommon to have out-of-towners staying in Rahab's home. They're trying to lay low. But it doesn't work. The king of Jericho finds out that there are spies in the city, and the king sends soldiers to Rahab's house to find them, to search for these men. But when he does that, when the soldiers get there, Rahab hides the spies on the roof of her house. Rahab protects the spies. Rahab tells the soldiers that they were here, I didn't know who they were, and they already took off. They headed to the countryside. So the soldiers take off. They head out to the countryside to pursue these spies who are actually still hidden in Rahab's home. And then Rahab goes and talks to the spies, and we kind of get to listen in as she tells these Israelite spies what the people of the city of Jericho think about the approach of the Israelite people, what they think about God's people coming. And Rahab says this. Rahab says, I know that the Lord has given you this land. She says, I know that God has given Israel this land. And a great fear of you has fallen on us so that everyone who lives in this country, all of us are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan whom you completely destroyed. She's saying, your God is powerful. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. That sounds like a city gripped by fear. But there's one person there, Rahab, who actually moved away from fear. Rahab moved from fear to trust in the Lord. And it's really God's grace that overcame Rahab's fear. So Rahab says this to the spies. She says, now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and my mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. And Rahab does this because she has learned. She knows that the God of Israel is the Lord of all things. She just said that. He's God over heaven above and on the earth below. Rahab knows that God is stronger than any defense the people of Jericho could put up against his armies. And so this is why Rahab protected the spies. She's come to believe in the Lord's power. And she trusts in his grace. She trusts in his mercy. Rahab believes that if she stands on the Lord's side, the Lord will not reject her. Rahab has moved from fear to trust in the Lord. And here in verse 12, we see the critical ingredient in that process. In verse 12, we see what actually broke down that wall of fear between Rahab and the Lord. And we see what's going to break down the wall of fear between Rahab and the Israelites. Here's a Hebrew word for you. It's called chesed. It's that good Hebrew guttural H, chesed. I can't say it that well. But when you read the word kindness in verse 12, that's chesed, both times. And chesed does mean kindness, but there's some deeper connotations there. Chesed kindness is a kind of steadfast, loving kindness. Chesed kindness is given without any expectation in return. Chesed kindness is enduring, even in times of difficulty. In Scripture, when we see God showing kindness to his people, that's described as chesed kindness. Even when God's people reject him, even when God's people turn away from the Lord to follow idols, the Lord is always there and he's ready to show his loving kindness. And this chesed kindness is what broke down the wall of fear between Rahab and Israel. Rahab showed kindness to the spies, and the spies showed her kindness in return. Remember, these people were enemies, right? Rahab had no reason to believe the spies would be merciful to her. And the spies, on the other hand, didn't know Rahab. They had no reason to believe that Rahab would be merciful to them. They had no reason to trust her. But Rahab showed them kindness. By protecting the spies, Rahab actually made their danger and their guilt her own. Because if they had been caught, Rahab and the spies all would have been killed, but they weren't. Rahab saved them. And she did this without any agreement ahead of time, right? She did this without any expectation that she would get something back from the spies. That's chesed kindness. And when Rahab showed this kindness, she received it back. That's kind of how this works. Remember that Rahab and her family were Canaanites. They were idol worshipers. Rahab was the kind of person that the Israelites were supposed to clear out of the land. But the spies showed Rahab a kindness in return. After Rahab had saved the lives of the spies also promised to save the lives of Rahab and her family as well. And again, not because they needed to, not because they owed her, but because they could. They showed her kindness. That's chesed kindness. And it's the same kindness that Jesus shows us. You know, Rahab's story actually shows us this happened 1,400 years before the birth of Christ. But Rahab's story actually shows us a little bit of what Jesus does for us on the cross. Where Rahab shared the guilt of the spies as they hid from the soldiers, Jesus took the guilt of our sins totally upon himself. Where Rahab saved two spies from death, Jesus has broken the power of death itself. Where Rahab's kindness took away the fear between three people, between Rahab and the nation of Israel, Jesus' kindness takes away the fear that we have of God. And Christians have long seen significance in that scarlet cord that marked Rahab's house. That scarlet cord saved everyone within the house from God's judgment upon the city of Jericho. When the people were in the house, they were covered by that scarlet cord and they were saved. And today, now scarlet, it's the color of Jesus' blood, scarlet also protects us from God's judgment as well. We see all these connections and images of the work of Christ in Rahab's story here. Jesus took our guilt upon himself, he won our forgiveness, and Jesus exchanged his life for ours. That's chesed. And this kindness takes away our fear of God because it assures us that God is here to save us and not to condemn. He's here to give us life instead of death. And because we receive kindness from God through Christ, we are called to share kindness in the world too. As Christians, we actually point people towards Jesus through our acts of kindness, by helping those in need, by healing those who hurt, by defending those who are weak, by encouraging those who are brokenhearted, and in so many other ways, our kindness is an image of Christ's kindness. So if you want people to see Christ in you, if you want people to see the goodness of your Lord, there's no better way to show that than through some selfless kindness. So this week, show chesed. Be kind to someone. Maybe especially be kind to someone this week who's different than you. This week, be kind to someone who scares you. Be kind to someone who's difficult to get along with. Because remember, we're talking about how Rahab moved from fear to faith. I believe that many people are afraid of the church in America today. You know, 2 years ago, the Pew Research Center conducted their religious landscape study. And their work revealed that now almost one quarter of Americans would say that they are religiously unaffiliated. They have no connection to a church body. So the Pew Center reports that Americans who are religiously unaffiliated would say these things. They would say that religious organizations are too focused on money and power. They would say that religious organizations are too focused on rules and that religious organizations are too involved in politics. And if you put all these things together, that sounds to me like fear. People afraid that Christians want to run their lives for them. People afraid that Christians want to take what's theirs. People afraid that Christians are more about judgment and control than grace. That's the image of the church that many people have in America today. And it may not be true, but the perception is there. And that perception still drives people away from the Lord. By the way, if any of us here have that perception of the church today, whether of this congregation or the wider church in America, I'd love to talk to you and find out why you feel that way. But the only way that you and I can help others see past their own fear of the church, and indeed see past their own fear of the Lord, is through kindness. So be kind. Don't give people any reason to build that wall of fear any higher. And know that the Lord uses your kindness to draw others to himself. And the Lord uses your kindness in another way too. The Lord actually uses your kindness to take away your own fear as well. Because when you take the time to be kind to someone who's different, suddenly they don't seem so different. When you take the time to be kind to someone who scares you, suddenly they seem less scary. When you treat that person with kindness and humanity, they start to seem more human to you. And it's not that our differences go away, but those differences are no longer a reason to be afraid of one another. The Lord uses your own kindness to take away your own fear as well. So be kind, as Rahab was kind. Be kind as Jesus is kind to us. This day, this week, this month, this year, be the church. Stand against the forces of fear and division in our world. In the name of Christ, be kind. Amen.